Thank the Lord that we can be here again after an absence of a year and a half. It's been that long already that we were last here, and I thank God that we can be here, and in the providence of the Lord, of course. We have had quite a busy time being here on Friday for funeral, Saturday for wedding, and today be with you all. But it's good to be here, to be able to share the Word of God. And I think this morning, or this afternoon, you must have learned a new word for most of you. You know, supererogate. There's, difficult words, but practice, as Pastor Mark explained in the Church of Rome, works of supererogation. So if one person does more work than what was required, they can give you some extra heresy, of course, because that's not what the Bible teaches. But, you know, it's interesting, and I'm glad that you are reading the Westminster Confession of Faith, a summary of the doctrines that we believe. Now, for my message this afternoon, I'm kind of missing, the church in Adelaide today. We've been attending Hope Church in the morning, and Providence meets in the afternoon, same time as you do, 3 o'clock. Of course, it's 2.5 hours time difference now, so they're finished already. But we've been attending Providence in the afternoon, started by Pastor David Wang, and he has asked us to kind of serve in an advisory capacity. So I'm technically the advisory pastor there. And we certainly would appreciate your prayer, Wang. It's, at this point, it's a very small group. It's David Wang's family, which is 5. And then at this point, it's only 6 other people. So it is really a very small group. So do pray that God would lead and direct them. But there's definitely good prospects. The church meets in the northern suburbs of Adelaide, whereas Hope Church meets in the southern suburbs of Adelaide. So we're in opposite sections of town, and we live in the east. So, you know, that works out quite well. It takes about 15 minutes to get to Hope Church, about 20 minutes to get to Providence. I almost said 20 minutes to Covenant, but that's not quite the case. But 20 minutes to Providence. So it's a good location to be. Do pray. They're meeting at David Wang's home at this point, but they're looking for a school hall or some other community center that may be available for them to have their meetings. So thank you for your prayers, and please continue to pray. Now, the topic of my afternoon is growing older and wiser. Now, there's not much we can do about growing older. Somebody once said there's only one alternative to growing old. And you know what that alternative is, and that is dying young. So we don't particularly care for that alternative. But growing wiser, that is something else. And there's something we can do about that. And as I begin this message, I would like to share with you some miscellaneous quotes on the subject of growing older and wiser. And the first thought here comes from Abraham Lincoln. He used to be president in the United States of America. He was born in 1809, and he was assassinated in 1865. But Lincoln said this: "I do not think much of a man who is not wiser today than he was yesterday." Think about that. "I do not think much of a man who is not wiser today than he was yesterday." I hope that applies to you. Alexander Pope, the English poet, born in 1688 and died in 1744, said, "No one should be ashamed to admit they are wrong." Sometimes we are ashamed to admit that we are wrong. But he said, "No man should be ashamed to admit they are wrong," which is but saying, in other words, that they are wiser today than they were yesterday. Because now they realize, I was wrong about that. So they've learned something new. They have learned. Now here is Charles Darwin. You've heard of him. He was an English naturalist. He was a geologist. Of course, he was best known for his views on evolution. You know, his Origin of Species, his trips by the ship, the Beagle. But Darwin says this, it was quite an interesting thought. He said an American monkey, after getting drunk on brandy, would never touch it again, and thus is much wiser than most men. He grew older and wiser, that monkey. Here's George Carlin. Now, some of you may have heard of him. He was an American comedian, writer, social critic, and actor. He was born in 1937, died only 6 years ago in 2008. But he says this, I was thinking about how people seem to read the Bible a lot more as they get older. And then it dawned on me, they're cramming for their final exam. And then one more. This is by Tryon Edwards. Tryon Edwards, you may know him. He was an American theologian, and his great-grandfather was a very well-known American preacher, namely Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards preached what is often considered the most famous sermon ever preached in America, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. But Tryon Edwards says this, he that never changes his opinion never corrects mistakes, and will never be wiser on the morrow than he is today. And how true. If you never change your opinion, then you can never correct mistakes that you have made, and you will never be wiser tomorrow than you are today. But what we want is to grow older. Yes, no choice about that. But we also want to grow wiser. And so I'd like to suggest to you four things about growing wiser, older and wiser. And we want to look at what the Word of God has to say. Now, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ must increase and I must decrease. Now, it's interesting that in the Bible study that we just had before this, that Pastor Mark actually referred to that. Now, they sometimes say great minds think alike. So, but anyway, he and I are on the same thought here. So he kind of concluded his Bible study by saying that, and that was, he didn't notice, but that was the first point of my message. He must increase, but I must decrease. Words from John chapter 3 and verse 30, and he didn't know this either, but that was said by John the Baptizer. And I expected him to say John the Baptist, because that's what most people call him. But I tend to call him John the Baptizer. Now, with due respect to those of you that have a Baptist background, John the Baptist was not a Baptist. All right, so we prefer to call him John the Baptizer, because that's what he did. I think he was really a Presbyterian. But John the Baptizer said he must increase, but I must decrease. Now, I'm not sure how many have heard of Bernard of Clairvaux. Bernard of Clairvaux was born in 1090. He died in 1153. Name may not ring a bell. However, he wrote some hymns in our hymn book. And when I mention the hymns, you say, oh yes, I know that hymn. You just didn't know that he was the one that wrote the words for that. Of course, they've been translated into English. But the hymn, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded. Hymn that we sometimes sing when we have the Lord's Supper. One of my favorite hymns, by the way. Music, Johann Sebastian Bach. You know, but O Sacred Head, Now Wounded, was the words were from Bernard of Clairvaux. Another hymn that he wrote was, Jesus, thought of thee, with sweetness fills my breast. And you know it. You've sung it. But again, this came from Bernard of Clairvaux. Now, I'm mentioning these two hymns to you so that you know that I'm referring to somebody here who knows what he's talking about. Now, one time Bernard of Clairvaux was asked, what are the three most important Christian virtues? And he famously replied, humility, These are the three greatest Christian virtues according to him. Humility, humility, humility. And anyone who has studied the lives of well-known believers of the past will tell you that this 12th century believer had it right. Humility is a prerequisite to peace. Sanctity, of course, is a fancy word for saying holiness. But there needs to be humility. Augustine of Hippo, Saint Augustine, some people call him, was born 354, died in 430. But Augustine Hippo, by the way, was a town in North Africa. That's where he was bishop. But he said it was pride that changed angels into devils. And we know that. You know, the Bible tells us, Satan said, I will myself exalt myself above the throne of God. It was his pride. But then he said, it is humility that makes men as angels. So, pride that changed angels into devils, but humility that makes men as angels. I read about a pastor who had a little sign on his desk, and it is, I'm just a nobody telling everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Let me repeat that, alright? I'm just a nobody telling everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And to grow older and wiser, we need to humble ourselves so that Christ will be exalted. He must increase, but I must decrease. So if we think about growing older and wiser, the first thing we need to see then is for us to humble ourselves and for Christ to be exalted. Now the second thing that we want to note here then to grow older and wiser is to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. To look at his... And the Lord Jesus Christ increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. These words are from Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. Luke chapter 2, the opening verses, we have the account of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the account with Anna and Simeon in the temple. And then you come to the end of the chapter where Jesus, a 12-year-old boy, goes with Joseph and Mary to the temple in Jerusalem. And then the last verse of chapter 2 tells us this. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. What we see is that the Lord Jesus Christ developed in four areas in his human nature. First of all, he increased in wisdom. That is a reference to his mental development. Secondly, he increased in stature. That would refer to his physical development. Thirdly, he increased in favor with God. That would refer to his spiritual development. And lastly, he increased in favor with man, and that would refer to his social development. So we see development in four areas, mental, physical, spiritual, and social. And these are the same four areas that we need to develop in if we want to grow not only older, but also wiser. We need to develop mentally. We need to increase in wisdom. After all, isn't that what we say, growing older and wiser? So we need to increase in wisdom. And for this mental development, well, we go to school, don't we? We start out with learning the three R's. I'm not sure why they call them three R's. Reading is all right, but writing, well, I guess it sounds like an R. And then arithmetic. But we learn the reading, writing, arithmetic. We learn the three R's. And then, of course, we have a lot of other subjects in school. We learn history. You know, it could be Australian history. You know, one time I was talking about teaching church history and talking about Australian church history, and somebody told me there's not enough Australian history to have that as a course. Well, I beg to differ with them. There's a lot of Australian church history, you know, but there's a lot we can learn about history, secular history as well as church history. I grew up learning church history in Western Europe, and some of you have grown up learning, or not church, well, church history too, but history of Western Europe. And some of you, of course, learned all about Sir Stamford Raffles in your history classes. And so we got different things to learn there. But we learned history. We learned geography. I can remember our geography teacher when I was in high school. Somehow he loved to smoke a pipe, and he would smoke his pipe in geography class. And we had to move our way to that class because that's where all the maps were. And we learned a lot about the Netherlands, and we learned a lot about, well, it wasn't Dutch East Indies anymore. It was Indonesia already at that point. But we learned, and we had to study these geographies, different parts of the world. I learned very little about Australia in those days, I must admit. We had to learn science, chemistry, physics, you know, biology, different science subjects, languages. You know, it was required for us in Holland to learn 3 foreign languages. Well, most of you speak at least 3 languages. You know, you speak English, and you speak Chinese, and you speak Bahasa, and, you know, you speak several Chinese dialects, you know. And all I can do is struggle with my second language, which is English. So, but today my English is better than my Dutch, my relatives tell me. So that's all right. I speak my Dutch with an American accent. Oh, well. C'est la vie, as the French say. That's life. But, you know, we have to learn all these things. And many other subjects, of course, that you might have to learn. But all that is part of your mental development to increase in wisdom. Now remember, of course, that wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. Now we can learn a lot of facts, but we need to be able to apply these facts. So wisdom is more than just learning facts. You know, somebody said 1492 Columbus sailed the ocean blue, you know, 1788, first fleet, you know, in the Sydney Harbour. What is today Sydney Harbour? Yeah, we learn these facts, but we need to be able to apply what we have learned. But that's the first area that we need to develop in, our mental development, increasing in wisdom. And then, of course, there's also physical development, increasing in stature. A lot of that would be physical exercise. You know, we get our exercise. You know, yesterday morning, staying at Pastor Mark's, you know, Nathan had to go for his soccer practice. So he's getting good exercise. Soccer. Well, my soccer days, I'm afraid, are finished. But I can still swim, and I can still walk in the pool and do my hydrotherapy. You know, so these things are helpful, but we want the exercise. You know, the Bible says this, for bodily exercise profiteth little. It does profit. It may be little, but it does profit. But then it says, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Now that's 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, for those of you that like that, note that down. But bodily exercise profiteth a little. So there is good there, and we need that. I can remember, you know, in uni, I had to take 2 years of physical education, and that was required in the U.S. in order to graduate from the university. You know, very different from the education that you get here. You don't get any physical education, PE or whatever you want to call it, but in the U.S. it was required to have 2 years of physical education, otherwise you don't graduate. Also have to take 2 years of a foreign language, otherwise you don't graduate. So, you know, the education system there is a little bit different to what it is here. But we learned and we were required to have some physical exercise. And then there's, of course, the third is spiritual development, increasing in favor with God. And I think the first thing we need to realize there is a right relationship with God. That realization that we are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then realizing that we are sinners, that Christ died for sinners. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But you know, as you think of Christ dying for us, he also rose again from the dead. Remember the Indian family, they were Sikhs. And they had on the wall some pictures there. And we asked them, who are these? Oh, they're the founders of our Sikh religion. Where are they today? Well, they're dead. You know what? Our God is alive. I serve a risen Savior. He is alive. Thank God that we have a God who lives, not some God who is dead. You know, back in the 1960s in America, there was a God is dead theology. It was the newest thing that came out during my seminary days. And people made bumper stickers. My God is alive. Sorry about yours. My God is alive. Jesus is alive today. And because he rose from the dead, it gives me the assurance that one day, as a believer in Christ, I shall too be alive. You know, I don't remember if it was Moody or whether it was Spurgeon. It may have been Moody. You know, someday you're going to hear that I am dead. Don't you believe it? At that moment, I shall be more alive than ever before because I shall be present with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and to have that spiritual development increasing in favor with God, we need first of all to be right with God. Confess your sins to him. Ask him to save you. And he will do that. Jesus said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Who are the ones that come to him? He says, as many as the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. When you come to the Lord, he will save you. He will save you. And then you're assured that you will spend eternity with him in heaven. But then there needs to be further growth, isn't it? We need to further increase in favor with God. So we need to read our Bibles every day. We need to pray every day. We need to worship God as what we are doing today. We need to fellowship with other believers. We need to witness for the Lord. All these are areas for our spiritual development, increasing in favor with God. Let me repeat those 5 points. We read the Bible, we pray, we worship, we fellowship, and we witness. All these necessary for our spiritual development, for increasing in favor with God. And then, of course, the last one was our social development, increasing in favor with man. In Proverbs 18:24, we read, a man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Well, if we want to have social development, increasing in favor with man, well, if you want to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. That's something to begin with. If you are not friendly, you know, sometimes that happens. You know, people come to a church and they go home and say, you know, nobody talked to me. Well, did you talk to anybody? No, I didn't. Well, if you want friends, you must show yourself friendly. So if you're visiting today for the first time, I don't know. You know, I haven't been here for a year and a half, so we may have some that are here for the first time today. If that's the case, talk to somebody, and they'll talk back to you. So show yourself friendly, and you'll get more friends. And if you see somebody, you say, I've never seen this person before, talk to them. Make yourself known. So be friendly. So we need to do that. We need to increase in favor with man. You know, if you have to read Dale Carnegie, How to Make Friends and Influence People, you know, that could be a helpful little book to read there. Men, I'm just addressing the men here, you know, open the doors for your wife. I must admit, I haven't opened the car door very often lately. She's been opening the door for me lately because of my hip problems, you know. But, you know, open the door for your wife. Or give her flowers, you know, on your anniversary. Or give her, I hate to say it, but you can give her some chocolates, unless she says, I get fat from chocolates. I don't want that. You know, but give her something like that. At least give her a card, you know, on Mother's Day or on her birthday, you know. And in this regard, I was very pleased to notice this. When we came here on Thursday, leaving Adelaide Airport, there's a row of seats, and at the end it has a sign, both ends. You know, these seats are for elderly people and for those that are basically handicapped, you know, that have some problems. And here I was coming with my tongkat, my walking stick, and there was somebody sitting at the one end, somebody sitting at the other end. So there were the two seats in the middle were free. So we said, oh, no, okay, my wife and I, we take the two middle seats. But as soon as I approached her, the man at my end, he right away got up. He said, sorry, please sit down. So he was very kind. He gave his seat to an elderly person. Let's face it, I am getting old, you know. So, but yes, he was very kind. He gave up his seat, and I was able to sit down, and the seat remained empty for the whole rest of the time. But, you know, that's the kind of thing. And I see it. I travel more by bus these days because I don't have to pay for traveling by bus. So rather than going to the city of Adelaide by car and pay an arm and a leg for parking, you know, we try to take the bus. And there are certain seats for the elderly, you know, and see people with a walking stick depicted there. Well, I must admit, I take those seats, and it's helpful. But if somebody young is sitting there, they ought to get up. So if you're able, I was brought up, you know. If I wouldn't get up for an elderly person when I was growing up, I would have trouble sitting for a while, you know, because my parents would make sure that I learned that lesson. So, you know, these are some of the things that we can do in our relationship, our social development, increasing in favor with man. So if we really want to grow not only older, but also to grow wiser, first of all, there's that humility. He must increase, but I must decrease. Then secondly, we need to know that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And you and I need to increase in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. But then thirdly, we must increase in grace and of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The words from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now to grow in grace really means to grow in Christ-likeness. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be conformed to the image of God's Son, as Romans 8 verse 29 tells us. We must show the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Galatians 5, 22, 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's nothing against it. These are the kind of things that we are to show in our life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So that's it. So to grow in grace means to show these things. A good study, and I think many of you are familiar with this, and many of you, or some of you, have at least studied this already. Dr. Jim Berg's book, Changed into His Image. Very helpful to help us to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's also the interactive study guide, Taking Time to Change. And I think some of you are aware there's a follow-up on that as well. You know, created for His glory. And the interactive study guide is entitled Taking Time to Rejoice. You know, studying these kind of things will help us to grow in grace, to grow in Christ-likeness. Now, we'll never be perfect like the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize that. But that doesn't mean we should not strive to becoming more like the Master. You know, the hymn writer says that, more like the master I would ever be. You know, little chorus that I first got saved more than 50 years ago now, the Lake Erie Bible Conference, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I want to be like Him, so pure and holy, so meek and lowly. All I want to be like Him. And that's it. We need to be like Him. Need to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we want to increase in wisdom, we need to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, to grow in grace. But not only do we need to grow in grace, we also need to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, we need to study the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study the Word of God. Therefore, I would encourage you to attend the various Bible studies that are offered in the church. You know, if I look at today's church bulletin, Wednesday, 7:45 p.m., prayer meeting, Psalm 82, there is a Bible study on the book of Psalms. All right? I was talking to Pastor Mark earlier. He said, first hill in the book of Psalms, you know. Well, when I was here, we took 2 years to do the book of Acts, and we did 2 years to do the book of Genesis, you know. And, well, if it takes 2 years for Pastor Mark to do the life of Christ, that's quite all right. Well, it'll take you 150 Sundays to do the book of Psalms. That's 3 years. That's all right. Study it. Study to show yourself approved unto God. And then, you know, we have Sunday 2 o'clock, the adult Bible class. There's an opportunity for you to study. We have, of course, the other things. From time to time, there are special lectures, seminar on worship I see here. You know, then there's Bible camps. Now, if our health allows, Mrs. Powell and I would like to come next year for your Bible conference. You know, it's something that this year we couldn't come because I was speaking at the Hope Church camp at the Easter. But if at all possible, we would like to come next year. So, because we need to learn. We need to grow in the knowledge of Christ. You know, don't think, oh, you've graduated from seminary, you know everything there's to know. No, many things that I don't know. And I like to keep on studying to learn more. And so, Lord willing, if our health holds up to it, you know, then we will try to be here next year. So that's what we need to do, to grow in grace, to become more like Christ, to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. So study the Word of God. And then, of course, God is to be glorified in all that we do. You should know that from the Shorter Catechism. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. So we are to do that. Glorify God in all that we do. So far then we have seen three things that we need to do to grow not only older but wiser. First one, He must increase, I must decrease, humility. Secondly, we must, like the Lord Jesus Christ, increase in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And then thirdly, we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I said I was going to give you four, so let me give you one more. All right, we must increase in wisdom. Pretty obvious, isn't it? Because growing older and wiser, we must increase in wisdom. Now that's where the book of Proverbs comes in, all right? Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. That's Proverbs 9 and verse 9. Instruction to a wise man, he will be yet wiser. You know, Proverbs chapter 1, which is what we read in verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And then the book of James. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Notice that promise? It shall be given him. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. Therefore, to increase in wisdom, we need to pray and ask the Lord to give us wisdom. And he has promised to do so. Now, let me give you one example of this here in the Bible. In 2 Chronicles, you can also look, of course, in the book of Kings, in 1 Kings chapter 3. But let me read from 2 chapter 1, in verses 7 through 12. All right, just a few verses there. It'll be a passage that I'm sure you'll recognize when I start reading. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And then God said unto Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee, besides all that, riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. Passage that I know is well familiar to many of you. But when God said to King Solomon, what shall I give you? Lord, give thy servant, an understanding heart. Grant wisdom to thy servant to rule this thy people. There's so many of them, Lord. They're like the dust of the earth. Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. God said, what do you want? And he said, Lord, grant me wisdom. And so we need to ask God for wisdom. So some years ago, I heard Elder Koo Peng Kiat. Some of you know him from Life PP Church in Singapore. And Elder Koo says, a psalm a day keeps the devil at bay. Good practice. A psalm a day keeps the devil at bay. And using that as kind of a thought, I say a chapter of Proverbs each day helps you to grow wiser along life's way. I've mentioned this before when I was here pastoring. A chapter of Proverbs a day. On the first of the month, read Proverbs chapter 1. On the second day of the month, read Proverbs chapter 2. And so on for the rest of the month. And then the next month comes around, first of the month, start with chapter 1 again. You know, in 1 year, if you do that, I think you read Proverbs through 12 times. Because most years have 12. Just think how much wiser you will be if you read Proverbs 12 times. A chapter of Proverbs each day helps you to grow wiser along life's way. So we need to increase in wisdom. In other words, we need to grow. Some years ago, a dear brother in Christ spoke about the word growth, G-R-O-W-T-H. And he used it as an acrostic. And this is what he came up with. And this, I think, is helpful for us to grow older and wiser. G, go to God in prayer daily. R, read God's word daily. O, obey God moment by moment. W, with Christ by your life and by your words. T, Trust God for every detail of your life. And H, Holy Spirit, let Him empower your life daily. G-R-O-W-T-H, growth. And if we do that, we indeed will grow, not only older, but we will grow wiser. Proverbs 16, verse 31 tells us, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. The hoary head, the white hair. When I was in Holland, you know, just recently in July, I had some fellowship with my cousin. I hadn't seen him for 16 years, you know, and we did recognize each other, but he made an interesting comment. He said, I thought you'd have more white hair than this. Well, maybe have more hair, full stop, you know. But he said, I thought your hair would be whiter than what it is. Well, that's what the hoary head is, white hair, you know. But that verse, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. I'd like to rephrase that by saying, old age is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of wisdom. Growing older and wiser. Remember those words that I started with of Abraham Lincoln. I do not think much of a man who is not wiser today than he was yesterday. And you and I need to think about that. Are we wiser today than we were yesterday? Remember, he must increase. I must decrease. Like Christ, we need to grow in favor of God and man, in stature. You know, we need that mental, our physical development, our spiritual development, our social development. We need to realize these things. We need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. But ultimately, we must increase in wisdom. And if you lack wisdom, ask of God, like Solomon did. And God will give it to us. So may God then help us to grow older and wiser. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee for the teachings in Thy Word, that while we know that every day we do grow older, it is also possible for us to grow wiser. And help us, Father, to grow wiser along life's way as we humble ourselves, as we, like the Lord Jesus Christ, grow in our development as a child, increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Help us too, Father, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all this, that we may become more like our Savior as we grow in wisdom. Lord, we ask of You to grant us the wisdom that we need day by day to live our lives. And help us, Father, to be wiser today than we were yesterday. And may we be wiser tomorrow than we are today. Lord, help us indeed to grow older and wiser. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.